الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. وقال سبحانه وتعالى في مقام آخر: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends, all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator and nourisher, for having blessed us with this blessed day of Jum'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the reality of this in our hearts and the heart of all mu'mineen till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and friends, a few weeks ago I made a khutbah here in this masjid concerning a certain event that was going to take place, and it had already taken place in our society. And as an imam, I felt it my duty to speak concerning that event. And as imams, it is our duty to always mention things that are not in accordance with the Sharia, what in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, and the life of our holy predecessors, the Sahaba Ikram. If it is not in conformity with that, then it is our duty. It is our duty, and in fulfilling this duty, it is not our intention to target anyone. It is not our intention to target anyone, or to base the talks that we give to make some personal attacks. No. Wallahi, those are not our intentions. If people misconstrue it, it is not our fault. If people misconstrue it, it is not our fault. The gist of the talk of that time, of the khutbah at that time, was that we don't have to use haram methods. We don't have to use haram methods for our deen. We don't have to use haram methods to implement certain, practices, or to encourage people to certain actions that will give us some other benefit, deeny benefit. We don't have to resort to such levels, whereby the kuffar resort to such levels. But unfortunately, because of the weakness of our iman, some of the brothers felt offended, and they thought that these were personal attacks. I stand here in front of all of you, and I personally apologize if I have offended them personally. This was not my intention. Wallah, this was not my intention. It is a duty that when you hear of some wrong in society, we have to mention it. We have to mention it so that people don't get involved in those wrongs. Sometimes we don't see it as wrong. We see there's nothing wrong in it. But there are evils in it which we cannot comprehend or see. Sometimes we need guidance. I don't believe, and I don't say that I am perfect. I myself need guidance sometimes. I myself need to be told sometimes that this is where you are right, this is where you are wrong, and this is where you need to give some consideration. But we all learn as we go along in life. But in our learning, we have to prepare. We must be prepared to accept what is the right. We must be prepared. That is a true scholar. But when we, stoop to that level, this is a personal attack, and then my respected brothers and friends, there's something to be questioned about it. I would like to make some clarification concerning that khutbah. I made some statements. Yes, I made some statements. My statements were based on general practices that is prevalent in societies. The event when I made that khutbah had not taken place as yet. It did not take place when I had given the khutbah. The event had taken place thereafter. So the statement that I had made was not personal accusations, because the event had not taken place. There was no, confirmation that certain people had involved themselves in such acts which I had mentioned. One of them I had mentioned, respected brothers, was that some of, when people are involved in such events, such functions, then I mentioned that I can guarantee they line their pockets. Now, this was not meant for the people of this function, but it was meant in general. In general, we see, and through experience, in the subcontinent also, in my stay in India also, and in South Africa, where people involved in such events, they line their pockets. And shaitan will sometimes lead you. Shaitan will sometimes lead you to such practices. So we have to be careful. And I mention again that it was not meant for anyone in this locality or in the in our communities, or in the city of Seattle also. Yes, it came to my mind where some of the brothers who were involved in this were serving on a certain masjid committee. And it is only right for me to make a statement, and it is only right for him to understand that he is as one serving on the committee of the masjid. It is not befitting him. It is not befitting any Muslim to involve himself in such activities, haram activities. You know, the question alone that comes that where the Quran says that music is haram. Really, this is, it just shows that, you know, we are bereft of all understanding of Islam. We don't want to use our mind and our intelligence in understanding Islam. When a man has no defense, then he will stoop to this level. That way in the Quran that it says not haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention in any hadith that disco is haram or movie is haram, but we know it is a haram. It is immoral. It is immoral. You don't have to find it in a hadith or in the Quran to get your point from that. But it is an immoral thing. Any immoral thing that will lead you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there is an intermingling of sex, then it is haram. We don't have to look for it in the Quran, Hadith. Where does it say in the Quran? So anyway, I made that statement that people lying their prophets. And from my experience, I based my statement on my experiences. And it was general. It wasn't meant for anyone. But unfortunately, those brothers that were involved in the event were not in a masjid. But somehow the news reached them about the bayan, and they were getting phone calls. Oh, how much are you pocketing? Now you see, those that were sitting here, they are carrying chains. The Imam said this about you. Whereas Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned, لَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ قَتَّارِ. One who is a tail carrier, he will never enter Jannah. What fitna was caused? Just by us giving the wrong message to those brothers that were involved. They were doing it for a good cause, for whatever reason. They were made to understand after that this was not permissible, it was against the Sharia, but whatever it is. But the fitna that was caused between two Muslims, and the one that took those messages, they are the cause. They have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masjid committees, yes, it has an effect. When people see you serving on such committees, and you are involved in such haram activities also, then they question. They will question your credibility on serving on such committees. That is this person worthwhile? Am I giving this funds? Is it going to go in the proper direction? Is it going to go for the proper use? Obviously these questions will be raised. So if we are serving on such committees, it is not befitting for us to involve ourselves. And if we want to involve ourselves in such activities, then we should resign from such committees. We should resign from such committees. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't compromise. Where the teaching of Rasulullah is concerned, the hadith, we don't compromise. That must be our stand when we serve on the committees of masjid committees. We must be very strict as far as it is concerned. And people will scrutinize us always. People will always scrutinize us. And I also made the statement that 90% of them probably don't know how to read the Quran. This is a general statement, which we have found. And I've experienced also. But you will find maybe 10% from them. Oh, maybe even 20, 30, 40, 50%. Maybe certain, the whole committee can read Quran very well. But now, are we bartering that Quran? Are we bartering that Quran for the worldly gain, worldly pleasure? We don't realize the seriousness of it. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One who will establish a good practice in conformity with the command of Allah, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever makes amal on that, whoever will practice that, they will get the reward for practicing, and the one who initiated it, he will get the reward also. Sometimes, of all those who brought that into action, who made amal on that, he will get the reward without their reward diminishing the least. On the other hand, one who initiated a wrong practice, contrary to the commands of Allah, teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people involve themselves in that, all the sins that they had achieved by doing that action is going to go to those people who created this situation, who initiated this act. Now, are we prepared to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that? Are we prepared to stand in front of Allah? Does that ever cross our mind? Why can't we understand simple things? That when there are practices which were not encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our pious predecessors and Sahaba ikram, they were not involved in it, we should abstain from such practices. And I'm warning you now that in the future, now also in this coming days, there's going to be other practices. For example, the Milad. People say, what is wrong with Milad? What is wrong in celebrating the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, as sensible people, where do we look? Where do we get our answers from? We go to the Quran, we go to the Hadith, we cannot say we go to the lives of the Sahaba ikram. Now, who are more beloved to Rasulullah SAW? We or the Sahaba ikram? Was our love greater for Rasulullah SAW or their love? Can anybody compare to Abu Bakr as far as the love for Rasulullah SAW is concerned? Nobody can compare to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Put all the Sahaba on one side. The iman of all the Sahaba on one side and the iman of Abu Bakr on one side. Abu Bakr's iman will outweigh everything. Can anybody compare? No. All of us together, all the mashayikh of the world today, all the fuqaha, all the mujtahideen today, can we compare? No, we will not. But did Abu Bakr celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Did Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Whereas Rasulullah kana ba'di nabiyyu la kana Umar. According to some riwayah, we might question the credibility of it, some of us. But if there was a Nabi, it would have been Umar. How many times, instances, his remarks, verses were revealed in conformity with what he was saying. Umar radiallahu anhu never celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, there is difference of opinion. Some say 8, some say 9, some say 12, Rabiul Awwal. But as far as the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no difference of opinion, was on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So are we going to celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are we going to mourn the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day? And this is a practice that will come about, you will see. And then we'll say, there's nothing wrong in Sharia about it. And you know what this leads us to? Sometimes it leads us to kufr, to shirk. Maybe some of us here are not involved in that. But our experience is, some believe, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present in our gatherings. You will find, wallahi you will find, I'm not lying, they are not there from here, but some of the countries, that they will put a chair in the gathering, and they will put a cloth on the chair. This is for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La hawla wa la quwwata. What is the level of our iman then, if this is not shirk? And then we say there is completely nothing wrong. All these bid'ah, for 6 centuries there wasn't any of these bid'ahs. All started in the 6th century. Everything started in the 6th century. By some irreligious king, who wanted to fulfill his whims and fancies, and told his religious scholars of that time, that don't follow the madahib, just follow your opinion. Don't follow the madahib, just follow your opinion. Do whatever you guys want to do. All these practices. And yes, the kuffar are so clever, they will initiate, they will create such event. They will want you to get involved in such thing, to stay away from the true deen. Because then, you can make your salah, you can do it. There's no power in your amals. There is no power in your amals at all. And some of us believe that we have to stand and make durud to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we have to stand, otherwise our salat is not, salawat on Rasulullah sallam is not accepted. Look at the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, that when we are saying the salawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our salah, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi, are we standing? No, we are sitting. So how can we, some of us, some scholars make this, that you have to stand and make salawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, we'll find it, and it's prevalent in many places, many countries, and we involve ourselves in this. Once a year, no, we are going to have this milad. And we will have a dinner together just because it's the milad of Rasulullah, the birth of Rasulullah. Why can't you have a dinner some other time? Why must we invite the sheikh on milad time only? Can't you invite them? Not just Sheikh Mujibur invitation, but why on the time of Milad also? These are all evil practices. These are innovations in Islam. Every innovation in Islam is doomed to hell. It is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is in the fire, respective of this. We have to stay away. We have to abstain from such practices. Sometimes we find it difficult because of situation. I come from certain community. This is my certain culture. There is no culture. Rasulullah came to break away, to demolish all cultures and traditions. This was the mission of Rasulullah. Come on to the Quran and the Sunnah. The ways of Allah, the commands of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is all these cultures and traditions? These are all innovations. We have to abstain and stay away from it. The more we involve ourselves in this, the more shaitan is going to lead us along. In my town, in South Africa, some people just thrive on this. They only want to celebrations only. Man doesn't come for one salah was jama'ah. He doesn't attend Jummah salah. Because why? He's not allowed to say his salawat on Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid in a standing position. He must stand. Thursday night he wants to stand, and certain nights of the year, sort of so-called auspicious night, he wants to stand and sing his salawat and praise on Rasulullah. There is nothing wrong on salawat Rasulullah. In fact, today is a Friday, we should increase our salawat on Rasulullah. Every time we make one salat on Rasulullah, we are getting 10 rewards. 10 of our sins are forgiven. And why are we driving, why are we walking, why can't we? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. What is wrong? Why are we driving? Why are we? But why on certain nights? No salah was jama'ah. No Jummah salah. Doesn't even come for Jummah. Regards himself as a beef sheikh. But at the time of Eid, the minute the Eid salah of khutbah is finished, Ya Nabi salam alayka salawatula alayka. Is this deen? Is this what we have to stoop to? Is this what has been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And some of them, you will find they cannot even get the tune without the harmonium. They must have the harmonium there. Otherwise they cannot sing. Yes, these practices are prevalent. And already arrangements have been made in our society. Oh, this function, this milad function and this milad gathering. What milad gathering? Abu Bakr Raja never gathered. Sahaba Ikram, 124,000 never gathered for the milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who are we compared to them? The Tabi'een, never in any of the Tabi'een will you find that they gathered for the milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This all started in the 6th Hijrah. The origination of milad celebration, the history of Islam is 14th centuries old. But the history of milad celebration is 7th centuries old. The golden age of Islam, the era of Rasulullah, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, had long passed, yet the custom of Milad was not initiated. 6 centuries after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, an irreligious ruler initiated this custom in the city of Mosul. Imam Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Bithri Maliki rahmatullah alayhi writes in his kitab, Al-Qawl al-Mu'tamad. Allama Mu'izzuddin Hassan Khwarizmi rahmatullah says in his kitab, the ruler of Irbal, King Muzaffar Abu Sayyid Kokari, was an irreligious king. He ordered the ulama of his time to act according to the opinion and discard the practice of following any of the mazhabs. A group among the learned men inclined towards him. He, this king, organized Maulud sessions during the month of Rabiul Awwal. He was the first of the kings who have innovated this practice. The irreligious rulers squandered vast sums of public funds in the organization and upkeep of the celebration, which had no sanction in Islamic law. Allama Zahabi rahmatullah alayh says, every year this ruler spent 300,000 on Maulud celebrations. As far as the practice of Maulud in the 6th year of Hijrah, 604 Hijrah, Muzaffaruddin Kokari introduced this custom with the aid of some learned people whose purpose was to gain the wealth and honor of this world. A notable and prime instigator in the origination of this custom was Sheikh Amr bin Zahya Abu Khattab, who died in the year 633 Hijrah. He was a great supporter of the worldly and irreligious king of Irbad, who introduced this custom. The evil character of this irreligious learned man is a fact upon which there exists unanimity among the great and pious learned men of Islam. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi says about this Mawli or the Sheikh who was responsible to a great extent for the innovation of Mawlud custom. He was a person who insulted the jurists of Islam and the pious learned men of his former time. He had a filthy tongue. He was ignorant, excessively proud, and possessed no insight in matters pertaining to the deen, and he was extremely negligent as far as the deen was concerned. Allama Ibn Hajar rahmatullah says, I have witnessed unanimity of opinion among the people as to him, that is this irreligious scholar being a liar and an unreliable person. I haven't mentioned one scholar from the Indo-Pak, from the subcontinent. I have mentioned Allama Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh, who many of us sometimes read his commentary or his tafsir also, concerning these people who initiated these practices. This was in the sixth year of Hijrah. And today we say, no, this is part of deen. I'll give you an example. In the night of the concert, I was wondering why some of the students, my students, did not come in the evening. My wife told me this morning that, no, the students themselves said, no, we went to the concert. Now look at it. We deprived the child of reading Quran for the day. By us giving the child, we are going to be rewarded. We took the child. The sin is upon us. The sin is upon us. And then when it comes to paying the fees, I've got two children. Do I still have to pay 20 each? 20 a month? You find very difficult. How much you pay for the tickets? See, we don't think like that. To spend for deen, we find very difficult. To spend for deen, we find very difficult. But to spend there, all the children went. Even to the extent they took their 2 or 3 year olds. What do you know about the music? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Huh? We must repent for all this evil. Probably this evil took place is so because of our weaknesses. We did not make effort enough. Allah ta'ala forgive all of us and to protect us from such events that will lead to the anger and the wrath and the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us come to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that lies our success. In that lies our success. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. What Rasulullah has brought, hold on to it, take it. And what is prohibited you from, stay away from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Allah. Remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Verily, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe. We cannot escape the punishment of Allah. We cannot escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq. I call upon brother Ali Salama. Ali Salama is one of our respected brothers from the Masjid of CTEC, also in the committee. It is a very important message for us. Sometimes our vision is only certain countries, Muslim countries, you know. But he's going to give us a broader insight, just for 2 minutes, inshallah, what he is planning to do. And inshallah, hope you, all of us can assist him in this regard also, inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ala ashrafi mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, just 2 minutes of your time, inshallah. I'm going, inshallah, in the next 10 days to West Africa. The reason why I'm driven to go is because Allah, last year, made me aware of something after meeting with the ministers of the government of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is a small West African country. But Sierra Leone is 60% and more Muslim, country of 5.4 million. For 11 years, the most brutal war, probably in human history, has been waged in Sierra Leone. To the majority of the men there have either no hands or no legs. Even the women and children in the same condition. The rebels from neighboring countries, influenced by sources here and in Africa and in from Libya, even slit the face of the children, and they would put in cocaine and heroin, and then they would take one child and butcher this child and tell the child if they did not do this to their parents, the same would happen to them. So 11 years of this brutality took place to the point where the people could not take it. It was so terrorizing. So finally, by Allah's grace, they have come to their senses And two of the ministers from that government and one of the chiefs from the upper villages came to America quietly last year, last February. And a lot happened that I was invited to meet with them. And they sat there and said, we are in desperate need of help. We are going to either starve to death or we are going to either die from disease. They are receiving no help from the world system, from the UN, or anyone. There is no money, there is no economy, and here we have a country, majority Muslims, who are fading away because they're not on our, we say, radar scope. So because of Sultan Ma'un, because Allah warned us about the miskeen, and even according to the United States CIA, there is no country in worse condition in the world today than Sierra Leone, though it is the richest in resources. So inshallah, I will be leaving in the next 10 days to actually, with a small team of people, carry the food up to the villages in the north where they have not. They called me 3 days ago and said, we have food now for 2 days. We can barely make it. And we just haven't been able to come back. We've been doing this quietly because no government in the world is helping them. So inshallah, our goal is to raise $25,000. Alhamdulillah, we have raised $20,000 to this day. So when I raise the next $5,000, after that point, inshallah, I will leave. So Sheikh Faisal gave me permission to come and speak with you and ask if you could assist as well with this effort, inshallah. It's very important that we take care of and help to rebuild the Muslims in mankind. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, I can give it to you after Salah. Okay, inshallah.